Okay, well, if you would, please, turn to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I think that's where we're going to start. I think this morning is more of a, oh, I don't know, a sharing more than anything. You know, those of us who are in this room, we love God, and most of us have spent a little time in God's Word. You know, the heart of it is, I don't know if it's the heart of it, but it's certainly one aspect, is to see the Word of God bear fruit in our lives. When the Word of God bears fruit, it brings glory to God. Isn't that simple? God's glorified. It's really sweet, you know, what we have. And you know, something I've been thinking about, I was talking with Greg briefly about this yesterday. You know, it's a challenge. We're a part of two kingdoms or realms. We have been rescued from the exercise power of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his dear son. In another place in Philippians, it says we're citizens of heaven. Our conversation or our citizenship, the way we conduct ourselves, is to be as it becomes the gospel. And while being in Christ, we're not under the authority of darkness. We've been rescued out from that. We're still here. And we still contend with this age, this world. And there are tremendous differences between the two. There are different sets of rules. In the spirit realm, in the kingdom of God where God reigns, God's word is supreme. It's number one. Period. In the world in which we live, during this time in which we live, this time of grace, man's word carries a lot more weight than it should. The word says today is a day of man's judgment. Man's judgment isn't right, but it's his time right now. It won't always be that. So it's just an example of, you know, what we have to deal with. In Romans, it talks about grace reigning in that kingdom of God where God is in charge, that spirit realm. It's grace that reigns. Isn't that wonderful? In this world, it's works. And sometimes people have a hard time with receiving grace and understanding grace. It just can't be. There can't be that kind of love. There is that kind of love. You know, and that's what we help people to see. Who God is. Who Jesus Christ is. And what they've made available. Another example, I guess a simple example, is believing. You know, believing in the kingdom of God is based on what God says. You know, it says in Hebrews, you know, believing, faith is the title deed. It's the evidence of things what? Not seen. In Corinthians, we walk by believing, not by what? Right. It's the exact opposite of how it works here.
Seeing.
In the physical realm. People walk by sight. You know, most people, it is, you know, see first, then what?
Right.
Then believe. See. So, makes a bit of a challenge, doesn't it? But that's why God's given us His Word. And those who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ have God's Spirit. And God says He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? He works in us. You know, we have His Word to build into our hearts, which is, it's a big deal. And I wanted to spend a little time in Colossians today because, there's other places we could go in the Word, but these are pretty familiar verses to you guys. And it sort of sets this beautifully in Colossians. I wanted to just read a few verses in Colossians 1, but then we're going to go and spend a little time with Colossians 2. This was part of a prayer, beginning in verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy, in balance, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And that's really with a view to, that word unto, it's according to His glorious power, with a view to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's a beautiful example of the difference. What does power look like in the world? Here, it's with a view to patience, all long-suffering. Isn't that something? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, or its authority, the authority of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, and then I want to consider a couple things. In verse 6 of Colossians 2, it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith," it should read, or "the believing, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Okay? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. I want you to turn, and we're just going to look at a familiar section here, but I want you to turn to Mark 3, the Gospel of Mark. We're going to come back here to Colossians. And it always reminds me of this parable, and it's one of the early parables that Jesus Christ taught. And it's one you're familiar with, but I just want to spend a few minutes with it. In Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken. It says in verse 3, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no what?
Depth
of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root. It withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and it brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then he said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples ask him about this. And, you know, what we're reading here is, and what we're considering this morning is really, really foundational. But it is absolutely critical. Okay? And it's just such a fundamental truth. So he begins to explain it in verse 14. He says, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. In the other gospels where this parable is shared, it's the word is sown, but they don't understand it. They're not putting it together. And it says, and then Satan comes and steals it. He steals the word. Then it goes on. And, verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with what? Gladness. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. You know, it's kind of neat. Maybe you've seen this. You take a seed and you plant it in a little bit of dirt like this, like in a terrarium or something. And then you take that another seed and you plant it in more dirt. What you're going to see is that seed that's planted in a little bit of dirt grows faster than the one you plant in a lot of dirt. But it doesn't last. Because it doesn't have any... Right. And when you plant a seed, when you plant a seed, there's a lot that goes on that you don't see. You see the evidence of it as the plant grows. And if the plant's healthy, then it produces fruit, you know it's got good dirt. It's got some root. There's some things that have gone on under the surface so that that thing is healthy. Do you understand? And that's the illustration that Jesus Christ is using about the Word of God. Sometimes we read this parable and we think in terms of the first time somebody hears God's Word. I've seen these things take a lot of time. Building the word takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But it takes some faithfulness. It takes a decision. You know, the ground in this parable, and I know we all know this parable backwards and forwards, but don't let that stop you. You know, that ground represents the heart. And as Jesus Christ explains here, the seed in this parable is the Word. It's the Word. And so you have this situation where it doesn't have much ground, you know, but it grows. You got growth. So they receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so they endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended or they stumble. It causes them to stumble. See? And the stumbling is not a result of the failure of God's word. It's just that the ground didn't allow it to take root. Verse 18, and these are they which were sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now, with this word here, believing is implied here. It's not just simply to go in the ear. And the cares, and that word cares is that divided of mind. It's that merimneo. You're divided in mind. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust or the desire of other things. Hey, look. These things aren't, you know, we read this verse and sometimes we read, you know, lust.
Ooh, that's evil.
No. But the desires for other things. You know? The cares of this world. There are cares in this world. It's unavoidable. Right? Mm-hmm. Part of the deal. You got to raise a family, you got a roof, you got... But those things are not bigger than God. They're not bigger than building God's word in your heart and taking the time to build God's word in your heart. And that's the way it works. That's the way it works. In this world, see first, believe. But when I'm putting the word to the test, believe and watch what God does. And sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking by the senses. That's okay. You just got to remind yourself, God is what? Faithful. See? And so you start to build this stuff and you spend time with God's word. Doesn't mean you have to be a scholar. I'm not talking about that. You have to learn Greek, know Hebrew, but spend time with God's word. Meditate. Read a psalm. Think about it. Ask God to teach you. That's how you spend time with God. And you start to build the stuff in the heart. You know, and then when the stuff comes up, when you're confronted with things, you're not scrambling to try and build. You've got some things built. You know, in this world, in this senses realm, the greatest motivator is fear. That's what it is. Just strip it down. It boils down to fear. You know? I work my fingers to the bone out of fear that I won't have. Or I do what I do out of fear of dying. Or I do what I do out of whatever it is. That's the great motivator. Boy, in the kingdom of which we're a part of, it's love. That's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whole different ballgame. So I got to learn some stuff about God, who is love. He's got a perspective, you know, to the guy who's all caught up in the cares of the world, he reads where it says, you know, pray for those in authority. That's a hard one. If I'm all caught up in, right? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe God knows something I don't know. Of course he does. See? So I just take time to build that word and let it take root. It really is a big deal. It is so hard to watch a saint get sucked in because they just haven't built the word. They just haven't done it in an area. And it happens. I know it happens. And I'm not judging. Me too. I got weak areas. We all have weak areas, right? But it's just, it's tough. It's tough to watch it. You know. And, yeah. And you guys have seen it too. You know, it's just tough. Or when you, or kids. You have kids and they're headed right for Stupidville. And, but sometimes they just... So you teach them, and eventually they get it. Praise God. But anyway. So, cares of this world, and those things aren't always, you know, the deceitfulness of riches. I can talk myself into different reasons to pursue that vein. You know? It's a deception, because true satisfaction, listen, it doesn't matter. That's not where true satisfaction comes from. That's not what's going to take care of the heart. You know, I mean, those things can be a blessing, but they don't take care of the heart. That's not where deliverance lies. That's not where salvation lies. Oh, what a tragic thing for a heart to think that that's where salvation lies. It's going to be sorely disappointed. Then it says in verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. You know, the neat thing about seed is you plant it, you water it, you give it its basics, everything else is supplied. The Word of God works like that. You know, the Word of God, you spend time in God's Word. You spend time building God's Word. You spend time doing these things. And you know what? It'll bear fruit. It'll bear fruit. You may not really be all that aware of it in your own life initially. You know? Have you ever had somebody, I know when I first got in the Word, you know, I would see somebody after a year or two, and they would say, you're different. Cool. It's like a compliment. You know? Things that I wasn't even aware of. And the same thing's happened with you guys. You know, you just build the word and you start to see things differently. It's a big deal. Taking root. So we get rooted. In Matthew 7, let's go there real quick. I wanted to read this too. And these are just simple illustrations. In Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Does them. This word does, it's not that you go through the motions. It's what's implied here is that it's who you are. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them. We're to be rooted and built up. You know, built up. And that's the illustration. It's the word of building a building. So it is to do them. And again, not to go through the motions. Well, that means I need to have some root if it's to become who I am. It's going to take some time. Right? He does them. And I'll liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Rain descends, floods come, winds blow, and beat upon that house, and it what? It didn't fall. Didn't fall. It was founded upon a rock. And that rock, you know, that foundation so often is something, again, that's unseen. It's something that takes place in the heart. See? But it's the fruit of it. That's what's seen. See? As opposed to the man who builds his house on the sand. Because I want to handle that abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is really a big deal. It's a big deal in the stand and in the life of a saint. In thanksgiving and in, you know, praising God, who are you looking at? God. You're looking at God. You're looking at God, that's right. You know, this word thanksgiving is, it's to be thankful, it's to be full of gratitude. When I take time to build God's word in my heart, where it takes root, I'm building something, it builds thankfulness. Romans 1, in Romans chapter 1, verse, I think it's 25, right around there, you'll learn the opposite of thankfulness. The exact opposite. And that road is a road to nowhere. And what they do is they start worshiping the creation more than the Creator. They replace the Creator with something from the creation. That's something. Do you ever hear of such a thing? Living becomes more important than life. So, that road to unthankfulness or where that road leads is not good. It's not good. Because really, all then you're left with is fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Nothing else. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, again, a verse you guys know. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes or supersedes or is beyond all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, Jim and Mary, over the past week or so, taught a little bit on peace. And because we're in Christ, we're at peace with God. The turmoil and those things that come up in life are not of God. They're not of God. You know, they're of the God of this age. But we are at peace with God. Let's go back to Colossians, and I'm going to look at chapter 4, verse 2. And I wanted to read this verse. It's just so wonderful, so simple. Verse 2, continue in what? Prayer. And watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. You know, we expect our God. Prayer is such an incredibly powerful tool. And the world has degraded prayer. Prayer, you know what prayer is like? Do you know what prayer pretty much equals in the world to most people? Hopelessness. It means you've given up. That's what it means. Well, we can pray. There's nothing left to do but... See, that stuff affects. It affects. It affects saints. It does. And we say things and we confess things that we don't maybe mean, that don't line up with God's word when it comes to prayer. Prayer is powerful. You have rights as a citizen of heaven. One of the greatest evidences or manifestations of exactly what we're considering right now is speaking in tongues. Which is perfect prayer. You know why? Because your flesh doesn't understand it. I had someone once say to me that if I understood what speaking in tongues actually accomplished, I'd never stop. Yeah. So we pray with thanksgiving because our God is a faithful God. He's a God that hears. We pray in the name of a living Lord. It's just remarkable. It's remarkable what we have. Let's go back to Colossians 2. And we're going to read a little bit more here. Verse 6 again, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith and the believing as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then it says, beware, look out, watch out for this. Beware, lest any man spoil you, carry you off as a slave, carry you off as booty, as in war. Spoil you through philosophy. And philosophy, the best way to understand this, it is an expertise in the arts or in any world discipline of knowledge. Okay? Doesn't say I'm not aware of these things. But those things can be deceiving, can't they? Where they take precedent over the over God's word. You know, when Jesus Christ healed a man with the withered arm, science said the man couldn't move his arm. Jesus Christ said what? Yeah. Who won? Yeah.
And the man.
Right. Because he did it. Isn't that wonderful? So, carry you off. And vain deceit, useless. Useless deception. It's deceiving stuff. There are times. There just are. There are going to be times where the facts, there will be many times, where the facts will contradict the Word of God. There will be times in your life where the facts will contradict what God's working in your heart. It'll happen. You want some of the Word rooted there. You know, to where you've got some, you got some establishing going on. And you can walk into this thing without being freaked out, because you know God's faithful. And I'm talking about God working something. I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes our imaginations get in the way. But when God's working something in your heart, you know, it's between you and the Father. And you walk out, and you're going to see some neat things. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. After the, and then it's rudiments of the world. Philosophy, after the, and then after the rudiments of the world. Some translations handle this as elemental spirits. And it's a word that is, it's what's behind it. It's the most elemental thing. Okay? The elements of this arrangement or this order. See? Jesus Christ said, "Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you." That is an elemental principle of the world. Follow? Because Satan is the great prince or the god of this world, of this age. So the world hates Christ. The world's concept of giving. God's concept of giving is very, very different. His concept of giving is rooted in genuine love and grace. The world's concept of giving is, you owe me. You know? And it's not necessarily, you know, with an overtly malicious intent. But that's just how the world works. You owe me. And you can't let that influence who you know your God to be. So, those elemental principles of the world, and not after or according to Christ. For in Him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are what? You're complete. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, in this world, in this realm, there are names, there are methods that can be intimidating, that can seem very powerful and so on. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that led captivity what?
Captive.
He led principalities and powers. He exposed them for what they are. Isn't that great? And His name is set above what? Every name that is named. And I can think of some pretty scary names. Really. You know, that can strike fear into a heart. So that's where the rooting comes in. Where it's just, man, I'm in Christ. I belong to the true God. I'm not biting on this. I'm not going to get led captive. I'm just not going to do it. I just stay put. Just stay put. Well, let's just read a few more and then I'll stop. In verse 11, it says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh," is how this should read, "by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the believing of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and what? Nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled the principalities and the powers, is how it should read, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See? Therefore, don't let any man judge you in this stuff. You know, man's standard is according to the flesh. You know, man judges according to the flesh. Man's justice is according to the flesh. You know, God looks at the heart. God works with the heart. His justice is Jesus Christ. You believe on Jesus Christ, you're in him. His wrath is satisfied. Everything is satisfied in Christ. You're free. Isn't that awesome? You're free. Free to build God's word. Free to go to your Father. Free to walk with him, expecting that he will work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's right. And free, really, from the things that bind people. You know, as all of us are exposed to all the time. And then on top of all that, we have something to offer those folks. Isn't that something? It's pretty amazing. So, I'm going to pray.